Matthew chapter number 5, we're just going to read verses 13 down through verse 16. 2 points to the message this morning, and we'll get into it. We'll read the scriptures, we'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll go right into it. Matthew chapter number 5, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says that ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now would you read verse 16 out loud together with me? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me never to take it for granted. Help me to understand the responsibility. Help me to understand the importance always. But thank you, Lord, for this time. And I pray that our ears would be open, our hearts would be open to the preaching this morning, that we would be sensitive to the leading and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Be with those at home that are watching on the internet, and just watch over them and draw them closer to you as the word goes forth. But thank you again, Lord, for the salvation that we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the precious blood. We ask all this now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Salt and light, that's really the topic to the message this morning. And Jesus, he uses these two illustrations to remind us that as Christians, we have a certain responsibility or certain characteristics that we're to exhibit. Last week, as I was listening to the message that Pastor Ethan preached, he was reminding us of this, that we are a kingdom people. And he reminded us, though, to be careful that, and I think you all understand that, or understand this, that no one enters into the kingdom by taking all of the principles that are laid out here in the Beatitudes and trying to live these out and then trying to be good enough in order to get to heaven. But as believers, we're to take these truths and we're to make application to our lives. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. So we're reminded of that. We're also to be reminded of this. Mankind, and I think we really see it, especially in the times we're living right now, but all throughout time, since mankind lies in ignorance and in wickedness. You understand that? There's been a battle raging. That last chorus, that last hymn that we were singing made mention of it. There's a conflict that's going on. There's been a conflict going on since the Garden of Eden. There's been a conflict going on between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. And we're never to forget that. And we live in this world where this conflict is raging. And perhaps in our lifetime, we perhaps see it more so now than ever. The things that are taking place all around us, these are just not political movements. These are not just social movements that are taking place. Remember this, that while the world may be in quarantine and the world may be locked up, Satan is never in quarantine, not until that last day when he's exiled forever and forever and forever. So there's a battle that's taking place all around us. And we should never forget that. We need to be aware of that. Satan is raging and the war is raging. And you and I have a responsibility. And we're to be reminded of that responsibility. So as Jesus is teaching here these truths and the Beatitudes, he uses these two examples, the example of salt and the example of light. And he uses it in this context. Look in the middle of verse 13. He says, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Now, that's not a good... The last thing you want anybody to say about you is that you're good for nothing. Amen? Boy, you're just good for nothing. Well, that's a pretty serious statement to make. You're just good for nothing. But Jesus gives and teaches us here to be careful. As members of the kingdom, that your life doesn't just become good for nothing. We're to be salt and we're to be light in the world in which we live. So that we're not good for nothing. Or, he says this, look at verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Listen, the world in which we live and all the movements which are going on all around us, they have no problem not being hidden. And you and I as believers should have no problem in not having our faith hidden. One of the fellows was telling me before the service today that he had some interaction with a colleague, and he was, I forget how it all worked out, but it became evident that he was a believer, and his colleague was a believer. In other words, he wasn't going to hide his faith. He was going to let his faith shine. And that's what we ought to do. Amen? Let our faith shine. Especially now, our faith needs to shine. Let's not be good for nothing, and let's not hide our faith. In either case, as we get into this, we're reminded in Ephesians that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, which God hath before the world ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I think one of the great areas today with regards to salt and light that can bring confusion is the testimony that we're supposed to have and the example that you and I are to have before a watching world, because the world is watching. You know, in some ways, the pandemic that's taking place and all that's going on in churches, it really puts people to the test of where they stand. Where do they stand? Now, I understand there's a lot of factors in this, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I read an article this past week that right now, the average churches in America have returned to about 33% of their attendance. Now, we've exceeded that, praise the Lord for that. And I understand that some of the reasons is because some people, their health is compromised and they can't go. And I understand that. I'm not trying to make people guilty about that. But as this progresses and we move through this time and we begin at some point to come out of it, one has to wonder what the outcome of all this will be. We'll see. Only time will tell. But I know this, that we're called to be salt and we're called to be light. So I have two points to the message this morning that I want you to think about with regards to this text. Number one is this. It's the problem of assimilation. And the second point is going to be the problem of isolation. The problem of assimilation and the problem of isolation. So our first example that Jesus gives us here is this, the idea of salt. He directly says to you and me that we are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. And I said the first point was, well, assimilation. What do you mean by that, preacher? Assimilation. Well, you know what assimilation is. Assimilation is the cause to resemble or to incorporate or to merge. Let me give you an example. Many, many years ago, we helped a family move from Moldova, the Songarov family. And when the Songarovs came from Moldova, they lived with my family for 3 weeks. And Fedor could barely speak, he couldn't speak any English. I didn't know at the time he could speak five other languages, but he couldn't speak any English. His wife could speak fairly good English at the time. So she did most of the communicating. And then they went from our house and they lived here in North Adams for a short while. And then they moved to Springfield, where there was a fairly large Russian contingent of believers. And they began to go to a Russian-speaking church there. which I could understand because I remember traveling to visit a missionary up in Canada one time who was going to Papua New Guinea, and he was there to learn French, and he encouraged me to go to the French-speaking service. And I don't understand, the only word in French that I understand is we. And so I'm sitting there in this service and I don't understand a thing. And he said, the reason for that I wanted you to come is, well, there's a couple of reasons, but I just wanted you to be assimilated into a different type of a culture and just to kind of get a feel for it. That was the first and the last French-speaking message I ever heard. Anyhow, the Songeroffs came and they lived there in Springfield for a while, but then they left that church as Fedor could speak, began to speak English, and they went to an English-speaking church. And in other words, they had two girls at the time, and they wanted to then assimilate into the American culture. They wanted their children to become American, or Americanized, maybe that's the right word. So that's the whole idea of assimilation. Well, from a spiritual point of view, we need to be careful of that. Now, what is salt used for? Salt is a preservative. In order for the salt to be a preservative, it has to come into contact which would otherwise decay. Now, you and I, we are called to be the salt of the earth. And God has called us, and Jesus has called believers, as they became the salt of the earth then and were the salt of the earth now, to go into the culture in which we live, whether it's our culture or any culture around the world. Every culture around the world is in decay. Every single culture. That's why we send 40-some missionaries, or we help to support some 40 missionaries around the world. I don't care what culture you go into, and that's because there has been a battle raging between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. There's a culture war that's taking place throughout the world. But believers, we're called to be the salt. We're called to come into contact with the world in which we live in. Our cultures, whatever culture, are morally and spiritually in decay. And they will always be morally and always be spiritually in decay until Jesus comes again. That's the world we live in. We can't help that. But we can do something about it. We can be the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Now, there's a false pretense that I think you and I should always be careful of. And I think Jesus was making the point here. And perhaps in our lifetime we see it really infecting the church. The pretense is this. In order for you and I to reach the culture for Christ, we have to become like the culture. In order for you and I to reach our culture for Christ, we have to become like the culture. In other words, adopt some of the culture's ways. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're not called to be like the culture in which we lived in. We're called to be different. That's why the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Christians are to be different, or else we're good for nothing. We're not the salt of the earth any longer. Listen, our friends, our family members that aren't believers, our co-workers, they should see a difference in you, and they should see a difference in me. Our children and our grandchildren should see a difference in us. That's the culture that we're called to be salt in. James said this, strong language, listen, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, strong language, is the enemy of God. Wow. You're not holding back there. It's not holding back there. It's not the easy listening message. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what's the next word? Yeah, transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, the scriptures say, by the renewing of your mind. The word conformed, it means to adopt to or to be in agreement with. Now, how can you and I ever confront the culture? And we are called to confront the culture. How can we ever confront the culture if we've been conformed to it? You've lost your savor. I've said this before. I sometimes have a hard time with some of the famous people, let's just say that, from the entertainment world, it could be from the sports world or whatever world, who profess to be born-again, Bible-believing Christians, but I see very little in their life that suggests that. Well, and I guess that's between them and the Lord. I'm not their judge. But if the salt has lost its savor, then it's really good for nothing. The little phrase, lost its savor, the word savor, it has the characteristic and the quality and the distinction. And Jesus is concerned that we do not blur those lines. We need to be careful of that. That person is so involved in the world that to such a degree that he has compromised his or her ability to confront it. Instead of having an impact on the world has an impact on that person. We've lost our effectiveness. Somebody said this, I wrote it down years ago. Listen, they said, if you want to save a man from quicksand, you don't jump in to save him. And the world is sinking. You and I have the lifeline. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be the salt of the earth. We shouldn't be surprised when we look out at our culture or any culture and see that culture in decay. It's been in decay since the Garden of Eden. Someone might say this, well, wait a minute, preacher. Didn't Paul say that we should become all things to all men? Doesn't that mean we need to kind of assimilate to the things that are going around us? Paul did say that we should be all things to all men. But can I say this? Thank you, I'll say it, all right? Oh, it feels good. I haven't been preaching in a while. He did say that, but he didn't say he would sin in so doing. He didn't identify with rebellion. He didn't identify with blasphemy. He didn't identify with sensuality and immorality. He didn't violate scriptural principles to do so, nor should we, nor should the church. And if I might just get a little bit political this morning, someone would say, well, as believers, should Christians protest? Absolutely, we should protest. Might I suggest to you, for 2,000 years, Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity, has been protesting against the culture of the world? It's the truth. Should we burn down buildings and be lawless? Absolutely not. Because we've been called to lawfulness, to be good citizens. There's nothing wrong with Christians protesting. But if you're going to protest, protest peacefully. Protest lovingly. And whatever you're protesting, you better make sure that it's scriptural. Christians have been protesting against abortion since abortion became legal. Christians have been protesting against slavery long before it was outlawed in our country. Sure, we should protest. But when people begin to burn down buildings and people begin to disrespect authority, that's not Christ-like. It really hurts the cause of those who might feel they have a legitimate cause. We should be careful of that. But we shouldn't assimilate to the culture in which we live. And yet, one of the great dangers of the age in which we live is churches that are assimilating to the culture. Churches that not only justify but accept deviant behaviors. That's assimilating to the culture. Redefining the Scripture's definition of what marriage is. That's assimilating to the culture. Churches that their whole philosophy is not to preach any messages that are offensive to people. Kind of take words like sin out of the message. And don't preach on hell. Take that out of the message. Now these are Bible truths that need to be preached against. This or preached about. This is how we confront the culture in which we live. This is how we stand forth courageously. No need to quarantine your faith. No need to lock it up in your house. Be the salt of the earth. Be the salt of the earth. So be careful of the things you involve yourself with. But secondly, is the problem not only of assimilation, but now we're kind of turning it around. It's the problem of isolation. The problem of isolation. So Jesus went on to say this. So you're the salt of the earth. The Lord has left us here to be that salt, to be a preservative, to help to delay or to deal with the cultural decay. But in verse 14, he says, we're the light of the world. And he goes on and he says, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. It's pretty hard to hide light. I think I read, if I remember correctly, some years ago, that if you lit a candle and you could stretch out 11 miles in an unhindered view. I think that's the right word. You could see the candle from 11 miles away. That's how powerful light is. Well, we're called to be the light of the world. But we can't do that if we're going to isolate ourselves. The believer who isolates himself from the world is a hidden light. He or she then becomes uninvolved and forfeits the opportunity to confront the world with the gospel. We need to be before people. We need to love people. I was at a preacher's meeting the other day, and so we had kind of a roundtable discussion at the end of the messages that were preached, and some of the various topics came up that we're dealing with today, and some of the social issues. And so the lead pastor says, "Well, how does your church deal with it? How does your church deal with it? How does your church deal with it?" I said, "Well, we just teach people to love one another. How are you going to deal with all the issues that are around us? We need to love people. Amen? That's what Jesus has called us to do, to love people. Even to love our enemies." So, let me just challenge you a little bit about some of your Facebook posts. Do they display the love of Christ? We need to be the light of the world. We can't isolate ourselves from the world. There are some people who want to do that. Well, we'll just get away from it all. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I see everything that's going on in the world. And all the, you know, if you watch the news too much, it can really get you. I just would like to stay in my house on my little piece of property and shut everything off and shut everybody out. Except that's not what Jesus called us to do. He told us to be the light of the world. Let our light shine. But keep your fingers here. We'll come back in just a minute. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. This is nothing new, by the way. I mean, every generation has had to deal with all of these different types of issues. I was having a discussion about the riots that were taking place around our country a few weeks ago with my son Josh. And listen, I was 10 years old, I guess. In 1967, I was around for the 1967 riots in Newark, New Jersey. I grew up 20 minutes from there. I remember tanks rolling down the streets of Plainfield, New Jersey, where I was born. There's nothing new under the sun. We need to love one another. We can't isolate from the world. Paul writes this in chapter 5. Look what he says in verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. And look what he says. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company of any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, which such an one know not to eat. You understand what Paul's saying? He's teaching the church in Corinth that had a lot of problems. Listen, he says, yeah, if you have a brother or a sister in Christ that's walking disorderly, that needs to be dealt with. But you can't isolate yourself from the world and not come into contact with people who are fornicators and covetous and extortioners and idolaters, because then you'd have to be out of the world. And how are you ever going to win them to Christ if you never speak with them, you never talk with them, you never interact with them? You don't have to be like them, but you need to approach them. Before we turn back, go to the book of Philippians. Paul brings it up here as well. Nothing new under the sun. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12, beginning there. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me just stop there. I think we understand this morning, but just in case someone's watching on the live stream, the phrase work out your own salvation is not to work to be saved. It's someone who's already saved and now putting your faith to work. I'll just leave it at that. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, whom ye shine as lights in the world. There have always been and always will be crooked and perverse nations. We've just, as Americans, been extremely blessed for almost, 250 years. Now go back to Matthew as we finish up. So, we're not to assimilate to the culture, but we're not to isolate from the culture either. We're to be a candlestick. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, verse 14, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. One of the first things that we teach children, isn't it? Is the chorus. What's the chorus, you kids in the front row? What's the chorus? This little light of mine, do you know that chorus? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it. Come on, you can sing it. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This one I think I made up myself. Let it shine till you hear the shout. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till you hear the shout. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. We're supposed to let our light shine. Let it shine. In the world in which we live. And as far as the Bible goes on to say, verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We're reminded in the book of Revelation that the church there, the first of the seven churches, is called a candlestick, the candle. When groups of believers begin to assimilate with the culture and then maybe even isolate from the culture, we need to be careful because the Lord will put out our candlestick. Separation from sin is not isolation from the world. Somebody wrote this. I wrote it down years ago. Separation is to the gospel what sterility is to surgery. It's foolish to scrub and never operate as it is to operate without scrubbing. So you and I were called to be separated from the sin of the world and much of the culture which is contradictory to the things of God, and not to assimilate with that. But at the same time, we're called not to isolate ourselves so much from the culture that we live in that we can't have an impact upon the culture in which we live in. In verse 16, we end up, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, really that's what life's about. It's about glorifying our Father which is in heaven. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto it." You and I need to be crucified to the world in which we live and just live for Jesus. Just love Jesus. Just let our light shine before other people in this world who don't know Jesus. Be the salt of the earth. Just live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord and let others see that in you. A healthy balance. But the balance should never, ever, ever involve compromising our faith, because that brings dishonor to the Lord. So that's my message for you this morning. Think about it. The salt, you are the salt and you are the light of the world. Let me finish with these verses out of the Gospel of John. It said of John the Baptist that he was a burning and shining light. And Jesus said of him, "And you are willing to rejoice, you are willing to rejoice in his light." Well, others should say that about us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As we conclude the service this morning, we're reminded that in order to be salt and in order to be light, you must be a child of God. You must know Him as your Savior. You must come to terms with the fact, you must admit before God to yourself that you're a sinner. That you're a sinner. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and all have come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We sang a lot this morning about mercy and about grace. God's amazing grace. Grace, receiving what we don't deserve. And mercy, not receiving what we do deserve. So whether you're in the auditorium this morning or you're watching from home, the question is, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you a born-again child of God? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on the cross and He shed His blood there for you. He was doing all that needed to be done for your sins to be forgiven. And if by faith you'll come to terms with that, by faith, the Holy Spirit of God is bringing conviction to your heart right now. You'll put your faith and you'll put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's promised to save you from your sin. And so right now, wherever you are, just call out to Him. "Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. Jesus, I believe that you died and you paid for my sin. And today I call upon you to be my Savior." You might say, "I don't understand all of this, but I understand that much, that I am a sinner that needs to be saved." I want to tell you, that's what you need to believe, and Jesus will save you. And then you too can be the salt and the light of the world and share your faith with those that are around you. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. As we leave this place, help us to be mindful of the fact that you've placed us here for such a time as this. Help us to love people, to care for people. But help us to do it in such a way that it always brings honor and glory to you. Help us to be that salt in a decaying world. Help us to be a light in a very dark world. We understand, Lord, that your word says that men love darkness rather than light. But help us always to love light rather than darkness. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.